World-renowned speaker, CEO of Miracle Channel, and senior pastor of one of Canada's fastest-growing churches, Leon Fontaine is passionate about teaching you how to tap into the incredible power of Holy Spirit. Now, from one of our Canadian studios, here's Leon Fontaine.
What I'm going to say is going to unlock some things that I believe are going to help you in a tremendous way. Don't be proud and think, well, I don't have time. You don't have time for God? That's pride. You don't have time to hear His word? God is first. And you're going to find amazing things taking place in your life. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 26, it talks about two things. The works of the flesh. And he says, now the works of the flesh are evident. All right, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Okay, stop right there. I have worked with all of that in the church. I have worked with people who had murdered. I've worked with people who had gotten involved in sorcery, witchcraft. I mean, you just pick it. They started getting drunk. They hated people. I remember one man telling me that he's picked up his rifle how many times and pointed at his wife when she wasn't aware. I can tell you story after story. I think, well, these are Christians. This is church. You bet. When you just live in your own carnal abilities and you don't allow the word of God to come in and to live. When you give your life to Christ, you're a new creation in your spirit man. But your mind needs to be renewed and your heart, that autopilot, it needs to develop new beliefs. The word must be planted there and the old go and the new rise up. And so here it's talking about the works of the flesh. People have often said, well, I don't know if I'm a Christian because I'm addicted to this. Pornography, I'm addicted to like alcohol, drugs. And you'll meet other Christians who are so selfish in their business deals. People get married to someone that they thought was so wonderful and new and God. And all of a sudden this selfish person, this narcissistic thing comes out. And all of this I find in Christians' lives. And then it goes on to say, now, just as I told you in times past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, right here, people who don't understand the grace of God and the new covenant or the word don't get it. They think you miss heaven if you do any of these things. Now, that's not what it's saying. And just hang in there with me. Let me show you something. Now, to have selfish ambition, okay, every one of us, including me and everybody else watching, unless you're deceived by your own arrogance, would have to say there are times I've acted selfishly and it was about me and I had to correct that. So if I'd have died while I was dealing with that selfish ambition, are you saying I wouldn't go to heaven? Jealousy. Don't tell me you haven't been jealous in your marriage or about someone else's success. All of us deal with jealousy. Well, then what does it mean? You can't inherit the kingdom of God. It's not talking about you can't enter heaven. He's talking about you can't inherit the kingdom of God. Now, as you go down to this verse, this verse will help you a lot. Romans 14, 17. It says, for the kingdom of God. This is an identity. It's not meat and drink. All right. It's not a physical place. It says, but the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. When you do this thing called being born again and you are obedient to the scripture of faith in Christ and you trust in what He has done, He's qualified you, His righteousness, you are in Him. This grace of God just supplies incredible things to your world. You are living in the kingdom of God on this planet. But you can be born again, and if you die, go to heaven, but yet never learn to walk in the benefits of the kingdom on this planet. You don't feel righteous. If you feel like you're lower than a snake's belly, everybody else is smarter than me, you're struggling with self-worth and self-esteem, and you don't feel significant, you don't feel righteous. You have not learned to live in the kingdom of God, which is present here on this planet. All right, I can be a Canadian, and when I go to America, I'm still a Canadian, and I'm walking out as a Canadian. You are a member, a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. But even as you're on this planet, you have access to all the rights and privileges of that kingdom. That's why our prayer is, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." As you live out your life down here, you can have, it says, for the kingdom of God. It doesn't say, is the place heaven? It doesn't even say that. It says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not this physical world, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy. This righteousness means you know who you are. You feel so good about yourself because you believed on Jesus. You're righteous because of Jesus. You are blessed because of Jesus. The favor of God is on your life because of Jesus. Even when you fail and make mistakes, you know that it's because of Jesus. And so you run back so in love with God. Then this peace that is in the kingdom of God. Oh man, there's a peace that passes understanding. You can have that peace on the planet even before you go to be with Jesus. Jesus told the disciples, when you walk into someone's house, say, "Peace be on this house," and your peace will touch that house as you stay there. And if they don't accept your peace, then don't stay in that house, because that house could be full of anger. It could be literally a demonic, transference is going to take place. And we'll talk about this, but the kingdom of God, it's not meat and drink, but righteousness, a peace. Now, this word peace means, it's actually talking about you're so blessed on the inside, and it affects all of your outside. And joy, a joy, and it's all in the Holy Ghost. So when it says up here, those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God, he is saying to believers, okay, you have access to the feelings, the blessings, the promises, the nature of God, all that's in heaven is yours on this planet. But you're going to have to fight the good fight of faith to have it and keep it, because the enemy's going to try to, not that the enemy can take it away, he's got no power other than to tempt you to use your power against you. So when you learn his devices and you learn he's trying to get you selfish, focused on your own abilities, give up on God. How did he tempt Eve? He just got her thinking, am I actually going to a whole new level if I eat the fruit? She didn't believe that everything God said was true. And today, every Christian I talk to will never deny all of the truth in God's word. But everyone that I talk to that doesn't get results will say, well, you know, I don't know if I believe it this way. And you can see them struggling with God's word, just like Eve did in the garden. That is the enemy coming to tempt you. And he wants to tempt you out of what to believe. If you do not learn to get into God's word and find out what the cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the throne of God. If you've never been taught that, you need to get out of your church and get into a church that'll teach you that, or go find a life-giving church, because there's an inheritance for you that will see you walking in the miraculous. So here it says that in Galatians 5, 19 to 26, that all this mess will be in your life if you do not learn to walk in the Spirit, which means to grow and learn in his word, plant it in your heart, protect it, let it rise up. Then it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know what? When you walk in a love, God's love, it changes everything. You can love the unlovely. You can love somebody through a bad period of life. You can love them when they turn on you, because it doesn't mean you're going to be stupid. It just means there's a love. Then it says a joy. Things around you cannot be happening, which is where happiness comes from. Things are happening, I'm happy. I'm going water skiing, I'm happy. Going bowling, I'm happy. Happiness comes from happenings, but joy is a stunning force. It is a strength. It is a power. You can live in it. Then peace. Long suffering. When people around you, ever watch an impatient person? Moms, don't be so impatient with your kids, because your impatience is doing something to them. Long suffering is that ability to smile while you bring a disciplinary action, not screaming, frustrated, angry, releasing, you know, all this pent up thing. No. Stay long suffering as you're training and equipping, as you're working in your marriage, as you're working in your business. I know some guys who think that screaming at their employees and dissing them and is the way to go. No, long suffering means you are suffering through their inability to help you with what you'd like to do. So, but walk in faith, walk in joy, teach them how to do it. You don't need to be a screaming, irritated person, whether you're a parent, whether you're a boss, whatever in life, whether you're serving a boss that's not even good. Long suffering is a stunning fruit. It's a stunning thing, and fruit grows in your life. And then kindness. Oh, I love people who are kind. When they have this kindness, you enjoy being around them. Goodness, faithfulness. There's a word. Just try to find somebody who'll be faithful to their marriage, faithful to their friends, faithful to their pastor, faithful into their boss in this company. It's hard to find. Then gentleness. And by gentleness, I don't mean that you're a pushover, a wimp. No, it means that you can be a Navy SEAL and take out all the enemy, but yet there's this side of you that can love and pick up a child in one hand, the gentleness, yet this power. It's power under control and self-control. So as you begin to go through, there is a life that you can have on this planet. But it's going to require that you begin to recognize it is in Jesus. It is in the Word. Stay in His Word. Otherwise, you are going to live your entire life. I know people who their entire life, I know, because I've known them for 40 years, and I'll talk to them today, and you can just see their brain double-minded. Well, you know, I know, but. And you go, and you've taught them, they've sat under our ministry, and you go, why can't they get it? Well, it's a decision that they have to make, because double-mindedness is something that will capture you, and you want someone else to change your double-mindedness. No, you must choose. Elijah said to the children of Israel, you are worshiping Baal and you're trying to worship God. Choose this day. There is a choice that goes on inside of us, and then an aggressive, assertive following that choice. Choose Jesus, choose His Word, and get up and go with a sense of courage and power.
We'll be right back with more from Leon Fontaine.
Even when your situation seems hopeless, there's always hope in God. As a believer, Holy Spirit lives in you, and no matter how dark things may seem, you can overcome anything through Him. In Leon's series, Supernatural Strength, learn how to access the strength and power God has provided for your situation. Stand strong, because stubborn faith in Him will take you through.
Over the decades of our ministry, we've noticed those who give, they just love greater. You know, love gives. And if you'd like to be a part of the giving family around here that makes this program possible, for a gift of $30 or more, I want to send you this series, Supernatural Strength, How to Stay Strong.
Get your copy of Supernatural Strength today.
I want to talk to you about something else in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 6. It says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." Now, then it says, "By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. But you are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. But this, by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." All right, there is so much wonderful doctrine in there. I want to talk about the transference of spirits. Now, I don't mean that Christians get demon-possessed, but the enemy, okay, is a spirit. And we know that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers, okay? With the darkness. So there's two kingdoms on this planet, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. Now, the kingdom of darkness is going to continue to push at you. I mean, look at the chapter where Peter says to Jesus after he asks his disciples, "Who am I?" And Peter says, "You are the Son of God." And he goes, "Peter, flesh and blood hasn't taught you that. God told you that." Peter feels good about himself, and Jesus starts to talk about the price he has to pay for all of mankind, giving his life. And Peter now looks at Jesus and goes, "Not so." And Jesus turns to him in the same chapter and says, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Okay, what in the world? People, you can submit to the Spirit of God. It's all through the, and you can submit to the lies of the enemy. Peter did that. And in one moment, he's listening to the Spirit of God. The next moment, he's listening to the enemy. And often in my life, I have had the most wonderful people, some of my best friends, talk to me about something, and I know that it wasn't the Spirit of God. And literally, now, I'm not saying they're bad. They're amazing, wonderful people. But it doesn't mean that everything they say is born of God. And they have given me advice, and I've listened to it, prayed about it, known that was, if I'd have done that, would it ever have cost me? It wasn't that it was against the word. It was just decisions and how we navigate this and what I should do and how I should deal with certain situations. And I've known that was not godly advice. It was out of their own head, out of their own carnal thinking. And other times, I've just sensed a presence of the enemy pushing. Now, fear, for example, is a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's a spirit. And so we have not the spirit of fear, Paul says to us in his letter to Timothy. We have not the spirit of fear. So the spirit of fear, you can't counsel it out. I've met people and know people right now, just totally lives taken over by fear. And you try to explain to them why the fear, why God, you can't. This spirit of fear, they have to rise up and they've got to test that spirit. That is not the spirit of God. And it is a wrong spirit, and command it to go. In Jesus' name, you spirit of fear, get off. And then every day take the word, "I have the spirit of love. I have the spirit of power. I have the spirit of a sound mind." Speak that, connect to God's word, and push off that spirit, or that spirit of fear will cause you to be fearful and your fear will grow. That spirit of fear will take over not just the area that it started getting into your world. Maybe you started being afraid of sickness, or your marriage breaking up, or you have a baby now and you can't deal with the fear of what if this baby does this. Well, as this fear lasts in your life, it spreads its tentacles. And this spirit of fear will go after every area till you are controlled by a spirit of fear. And so I have noticed that when I spend time with people, I remember times counseling with people, and there'd be a spirit of fear, or they'd be so angry, they'd be so irritable, they would be lustful or jealous. And as I'm done working with that person and I'm done working, I'm going home, God taught me to deal with that transference, that anger on that man would cause me to be a little more short with my wife and my kids as that spirit of anger, because it's not a spirit of God. It would push at me and would make me short-tempered or unhappy. So I would deal with it. Literally on the way home, I'd say, "Father, in Jesus' name, your word says that this peace of God that passes understanding is mine, that the joy of the Lord is my strength. So in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God." And I would begin to speak his word out loud and declare who I am. And it was amazing as I got this spiritual bath and it began to push off. Just kind of this scum. You know, the reason we shower at the end of the day or in the morning when you get up is because it's like your body and has got odor and the soot from the, you know, if you're riding your bike, often when I was riding my bike, I could feel all the exhaust in my clothes, my hair, and you smell. And I mean, if I'm touching other things, I got dirt on my hands and exhaust in my hair, and a good shower just cleans it up. The word of God keeps your heart purified, as we read that part. It just keeps it clean. So all these negative emotions are pushing at you, and you need to recognize that your feelings of all these negative emotions doesn't mean they're real. It doesn't mean there's even a reason for it. So I got to look at my husband. I'm going to look at this. No, remember that there's a spiritual attack that pushes against you always. Now, then it goes on to say that You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. So get up and speak the word of God every day. Why? Because every day you live, the enemy's attacking your mind. You must keep the shield of faith up. Well, how do you get faith? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So 40 years ago, you learned what faith was. You think that keeps the shield up? No, it is the word of God daily coming in that you memorize, meditate, get it planted in your heart, never stop. And that shield of faith puts a stop to every fiery dart, every wrong thinking, every cloud of fear, every spirit of whatever. And when you talk to friends who are in the midst of something, you know, and they did this to me, don't allow their jealousy, don't allow their dissension, their anger to get in you. Talk with them and keep that shield of faith up, because the enemy will spread it from Christian to Christian. He'll spread it through one person dominating a whole company, one person dominating a family with the wrong spirit, a church. This transference, I just see it everywhere. And so just keep the word of God alive on the inside of you. Now in Romans chapter 8, verse 36, it says, as it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. All right, a lot of people have read this, and they think that Paul is talking about that all of us are going to just be killed, just put up with it, take it. It's not what he's saying. It says here, for your sake, we are killed all day long. He's not talking about physical death. Because we operate differently than the world, we look like sheep to them. We're going, I could never walk in love. They would eat me alive. I would never make it up the corporate ladder if I was to respond like you say, with love and honor and integrity, that you'd never make it. Wrong. They look at us and they think, you're like a sheep to the slaughter. No, I am not. It doesn't say we are sheep to the slaughter. It says we are counted as. So because the next verse says, yet in these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Yes, living or dying, you win. If you know Jesus Christ and you die, you've not lost. You're going to go to heaven for eternity. But it doesn't mean that every Christian just dies, roll over and say, okay, shoot me, be so passive. No, that's not what it's teaching. But it's just saying that when the presence of God's on the inside, you will do things differently than the world, which is self-centered, pushing, backstabbing, stepping on fingers to get up. So they look at us and go, how in the world can you make it in this world, loving people, caring about people, honoring others, helping them get ahead? And how do you go there? Because we're more than conquerors through Jesus who loved us. So we need to stay strong in our faith. We can't just be fair weather Christians. In Philippians 4, verse 11 to 13, Paul says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I've learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and I've learned to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer in need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As you keep your single focus on the kingdom of God and his righteousness and the word and who you are in Christ, there's going to come times where maybe the answers get delayed. Or maybe you're walking through a time where you feel hungry. You're not getting the finances. The things aren't working like, you know, instantly. Paul is saying here, I'm content. Even when there's a need that hasn't been met yet, I'm content. This is when most people jump ship. The answers to their prayer haven't happened quick enough. So I'm going to try another way. I'm going to cheat a little bit. I'm going to cheat in my income taxes. My needs aren't being met. There's no pleasures in my life. So I'm going to go over and try this. I just need it. And they no longer look to God. And I want you to understand that when you are believing and standing in faith and not seeing results, Paul's saying, I've learned in whatever state I'm in to be content. And so in life, as you're going up for God, yes, there's going to be times as you're believing for new things, greater things, or people come against you, for example, and there's a battle that might be come at you through the courts, might come at you through money, might come at you through people, a neighbor, sickness will push at you. There's so many things that will push at you. And so many people, if they don't have immediate results, they are not content. They begin to be discontent. Their heart begins to be troubled. And they go, you learn to be content and get up and make a change. And let's go do great things for God, walking in the promises of God with His grace all over us, believing Him, not between two opinions. The enemy's trying to get you to two opinions, just trying to get you to distrust even a little bit about God and get double-minded. Stop and choose today who you're going to serve. God bless you. Have a great week. I hope that as you hear God's word, something on the inside of you begins to grow and be strong. When you hear the word of God, it should never make you fearful. God's word and His Spirit will never make you worried or anxious. If you read or hear a preacher that it causes anxiety and fear and worry, it's the wrong spirit. Even if he's quoting and reading the word, his doctrine might even be okay, but it's the spirit that is behind it. The Bible says we don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of power, a spirit of love, a spirit of a sound mind. I pray that you'll keep following and learning and growing. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, pray this powerful prayer that only you can pray for yourself right now. It goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I'm going to follow you. I choose to make you my Lord, my Savior, come into my heart, my life. From today and on, I'm following you. Teach me your ways, in Jesus' name, amen. You just started the most exciting journey. Keep following the program.
If you just prayed the prayer with Leon, we want to connect with you. Contact us so we can help you with the next steps of this exciting journey. You've been watching Leon Fontaine's The Spirit Contemporary Life. For more episodes or to hear more from Leon, visit leonfontaine.com. If this program is making a difference in your life, consider becoming a partner today. Your giving makes it possible to reach people around the world in multiple languages. And as a thank you, we'll send you this free resource. And don't forget to follow Leon on social media.